encourage you to open up to Genesis chapters 1 and 2. We're going to be just dipping into a few verses here and there as we consider water. For this summer, the theme is going to be looking at water in some various places in Scripture. Water has some very important symbolic effects. Also, it's an agent of what God uses to bring about His purposes. So it's a very important thing. We begin with creation. It is the beginning, and the role that water plays there. Simple message today, and just to kind of whet our appetite for it, or our thirst, and for us to perhaps just think about water in a new way. Even if just for a little bit, if we can be amazed at what God has done through water. So in Genesis chapter 1, we begin with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And that the deep is the water. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Here's one of the first amazing things that we see right off in creation, is that there is water. The earth is without form and void, but what's there? Water. The deep water, and then also the surface that's there. And then we're told that the Spirit is hovering over the face of the waters. In the very beginning of Scripture, we begin to see the role of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we think the Holy Spirit, something that was given to the church at Pentecost, or David talked about the Holy Spirit, and we thought that, you know, they had a vague sense of the Holy Spirit back then, but not a clear understanding. And that's true. They didn't have as clear of an understanding as we have now through the revelation of the New Testament. And yet, here we have the first words that God gave to be written about creation. And the Spirit of God is there, hovering over the face of the waters. So the Spirit is there. In 2 Peter, it says that people have overlooked this fact that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the Word of God. I want to bring that in because we're going to see that the next verse is the Word of God speaking. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. In verse 6, and God said, let there be an expanse. And verse 9, and God said, let the waters, and so on. Each day, God said, God spoke it out. God speaks out, and it is His Spirit, His breath. The word Spirit and breath are the same for Hebrew and for Greek. So it is God's Spirit and His breath that is hovering over the face of the waters, the agent of creation. All things are being made, and the Spirit is there. Jesus said in John 6 that it is the Spirit who gives life. All of life that was going to come about, all of creation, came because the Spirit was present. This is an amazing thing because all of creation was meant to be something that is spiritual. And the way that we know that it's spiritual is that God's Spirit is there at the very beginning, hovering. So when we look at creation and then we consider water, where is the Spirit hovering? Over the face of the water. Water has this important role. It's present. It's the first thing that seems to be present in creation. And it is spiritual because God's Spirit is hovering over it. So that's the first thing, just for us to be amazed, to think about creation, that water is present, that the Spirit is there, and the Spirit is making all things spiritual. In creation, Genesis chapters 1 and 2 are meant to bring us into a state of awe. That God can just merely speak and all of creation comes into being. God is powerful. There is nothing or no one like God. And water has a place in God's creation that is very special. We must never take it for granted. It is incredibly extraordinary. Now, at times, we do marvel, don't we? We'll look at water in various places. We might stand on the seashore and look out over the ocean and see the waves crashing, and we're just swept away by the power and the majesty and maybe the beauty of the water. It's an amazing thing. I grew up in Southern California and going to the beach a lot and enjoyed body surfing. And to be in the center of a wave, being carried by its power, is just an amazing thrill. God created that. Or perhaps we were standing at the foot of a waterfall. And how majestic that is to think about, again, the power of that water coming over, but the beauty of it. I love rivers. I love to see rivers flow and take the corners, the bends, and to hit the rocks and to have them, the water spring up over it and to have kind of that babbling brook sound. And just how incredible it is. And then we just live in a beautiful part of this country where we get to see water in a lot of ways. But looking up at Mount Rainier, is it incredible? Part of its majesty is the glaciers and the snow. Just looks clean, beautiful. It's all part of God's creation. And so we're to be swept away in wonder at this water. Think about water. It's the most common visible molecule that we have in creation. Just so common. And we just seem to take it for granted, especially in our culture, in our time, because all we have to do is walk over to a tap, turn it on, water comes out. Even if you're down in California where there's a drought, just walk over the tap, water comes out. It's an amazing thing. But we just take it for granted. It's there. It's always going to be there. We can drink. We can wash with it. Water our yards and our gardens. It's just always there. But it is incredibly amazing. Can you imagine if there weren't any water? And maybe you just came across it for the first time and you could see what water does. It really is incredible. Genesis 1, starting in 6, verse 6, it says, God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God is saying, let this expanse, which is going to be the heavens, separate the waters from the waters, probably referring to separating the liquid water from the vapors for the atmosphere. And so we're going to separate these things and we're going to have the heavens. So God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And then we have God saying, after that was the second day, and then it says, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. And let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And it was good. So in creation, God is separating the water from the water and making then the heavens. Then he separates again the water from the water by bringing dry land up. And we have the seas, the oceans that are there, and the rivers begin to form on the dry land. And so this creation, this water that is there, is so important. It is the major part of God's creation. I found some, I think, fun facts about water. And hopefully you'll think that some of them are kind of fun as well. But here's just to bring us into a greater sense of the importance of water and into a sense of awe of what it does. Roughly, and here's where you go search on the internet, you're going to find different numbers, but 50 to 70% of our bodies are made up of water, and our brain is closer to 80%. At birth, an infant has closer to 80% of the makeup being water. Pure water, which is solely hydrogen and oxygen atoms, is completely neutral. So it's not a base or an acid. Just it's neutral. And that is something that's pretty unique. And then water dissolves more substances than any other liquid. Now, for scientists, that's a very important thing to know. But just think about it. I mean, the most common molecule in the world, and look, it does something like that. It dissolves more things. Now, think about the implications of that. What is it dissolving? When the rivers are flowing, because the ice melts, glaciers are melting, and the rivers are flowing down, it is wearing away rocks, making them down into sand. There's other elements that are there. It's washing it down, and it's being absorbed in, so it's dissolving into the water, and it's carrying it to wherever it's going to go, perhaps eventually out to the sea. But then it starts to filter down through the earth and becomes purified. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. Water dissolves these substances. And wherever then it travels, it carries the chemicals and minerals and nutrients with it. Somewhere between 70 and 75% of the Earth's surface is covered with water. Most of it's the oceans, but you think also of lakes and rivers. So a huge part of our globe is covered with water. There's much more fresh water stored underground in aquifers than on the Earth's surface. That's the fresh water. So if you think about all the lakes and rivers, there's a whole lot more underground. If you've ever been down to Palm Springs and Palm Desert area in Southern California, you look at that and they just keep building more and more golf courses and resorts. And the sprinklers are going almost all the time. You just wonder, where are they getting all that water? The rest of California is in a drought. How can they do this? And the answer to that, it's all underground. It just comes in. It just, so far, it's an unending supply. So most of fresh water is under the surface. There is more water in the atmosphere than in all of our rivers combined. And the Earth is a closed system, and so it means that you're not going to gain or lose different things. So the same water that existed on the Earth at creation is still here. Isn't that amazing? You think about, it's true of the air as well, but you think about the water that we're drinking today, people thousands of years ago drank. Isn't that amazing? It just keeps recycling through. Think about that. Maybe we're drinking water that Jesus drank. Isn't that great? The total amount of water on the Earth is about 326 million cubic miles. Isn't that just a huge amount? Of all the water on the Earth, humans can use only about 0.3% of that water. And that's the usable water that is the fresh water and most of it in the aquifers. So that's 0.3% is usable water for us to drink. 69% of the Earth's water is in glaciers. And that's why they only talk about when those begin to melt, what it can do to the oceans. It can begin to raise the level. In Washington State alone, glaciers provide 1.8 trillion liters, or that's 470 billion gallons of water each summer. So it starts to melt off of our mountains. That's what we're getting. Water is sticky. It's a little bit about the surface tension we're talking about. But molecules love to stick to things, especially to each other. And so water molecules stick to each other, create that surface tension. That's why that paperclip still floating, still there. Water should be a gas at room temperature. All similar molecules, things like hydrogen sulfide and ammonia, are gases at room temperature. Water should be, but it's not. It's somewhat unique in that. And it is, again, kind of the stickiness of water that holds it together as a liquid. Water expands, we know, as it freezes. That's why the solid form of water floats on the top, as it expands and forms little ringlets, and it's crucial to life. And if you think some implications of that, when lakes freeze, so that frozen surface is on top, and it's rare. I mean, you have to have a very shallow lake for it to freeze all the way down, but life still exists below the surface. Here's kind of an amazing thing. Hot water under certain conditions freezes faster than cold water. And I'm not sure if I can pronounce this correctly. It's the Mpemba effect, M-P-E-M-B-A. And the scientists are still trying to figure out why that is the case. So it's not every situation. Certain conditions have to be there. So water is a pretty amazing substance. And it's God who created that. And the reason that it's there in the beginning and in such a huge amount, and it's the first thing really that's talked about in creation, is because of its unique properties and what it can do. So we should be reading Genesis 1 and just come to it when it just talks about the waters and just be brought into a sense of awe of how this common molecule of water is so incredible. Water is instrumental for life. It's one of the reasons it's incredible, but that's where the story continues. And we have, God says, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. And so God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds. God gives life, and the waters are important as a part of that. God says that everything is to be fruitful and to multiply in the face of the earth. And it's the earth is watered so that the plants can then come forth and grow. And God says, verse 29 of chapter 1, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. Water plays an important part of that. It waters the earth so that it can bring forth life. And in Genesis chapter 2, it picks up on that and says, when no bush of the field was yet in the land, no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man. And He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was there. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. And so these rivers are giving life. We know the importance of water for life. We can't exist without it. We know we have to drink, and more and more studies are done. How much do we need to drink every day to stay alive? How much is too little? How much is too much? Where it begins to dilute the things inside of our bodies that keep us alive. So we know water is important for life. And what that should do for us as we think about the importance of life is draw us into a greater sense of compassion where there is no water or where the water is contaminated and others do not experience what we have. Again, I just want to read through some things that I hope do not weigh you down with too many facts. It's a good thing there isn't a test after all this, isn't there? 748 million people in the world do not have access to an improved source of drinking water. 2.5 billion people do not have use of an improved sanitation facility. Some 1.8 billion people worldwide drink water that is contaminated with feces. It's pretty gross, isn't it? But because of that, you think of the illnesses that arise. In developing nations, women and girls are primarily responsible for collecting water. On average, 25% of their day is spent on that task. So women, can you imagine your job being relegated to getting water, and you're going to spend a quarter of your waking hours gathering enough water for you and for the family? We have it good here, don't we? More than one-third of Africa's population lacks access to safe drinking water. And anywhere from a quarter to a third of people in China don't have access to safe drinking water. It's a huge percentage of a large nation doesn't have pure water to drink. 46% of the globe's surface is covered by, this word, transboundary river basins. In other words, their borders have either rivers or lakes. And you say, well, okay, that's a good thing, right? Except in some places that leads to conflict, wars. And almost 3.5 million people die every year because of water and sanitation and hygiene-related causes. And almost all of them are in the developing worlds. That's like the population of a city of Los Angeles being wiped out every year. Every 21 seconds, another child dies from a water-related illness. That's 4,300 children per day that die. Diarrhea, something that we don't consider to be all that dangerous, is actually an incredibly deadly source of out there, and just kills children and older people throughout this world. It's the second leading cause of death for children under five. So in the time that I just talked about children dying, that was about a minute and a half. And that means, if every 21 seconds a child dies, It's an amazing thing to think about. What I want us to do in thinking about this extraordinary water, the great gift that God has given to us, is to remember that as Christians, that we are also called to a ministry of compassion. And some of that compassion means making sure that the world has life. How can they hear the gospel if they have died because they don't have clean water? That's why so many missions right now are one of the first things that they do in developing countries is to work on wells and developing clean water sources. It's people all over the world who've been developing very creative ways to purify water that can be taken into rural areas that don't have electricity, and they can purify water. And it's Christians who are doing that so that they can help give life to people, so that someone doesn't have to suffer the loss of a child or anybody else because they don't have clean water, and so that they can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Think about that. Water. Just having clean water, giving life. Physical life, spiritual life. And we come back to the very beginning of creation, the spiritual life. The Spirit of God is hovering over the face of the water, sanctifying it, saying all of creation, but this water that is here is holy. It is spiritual. And God has given it to us as a great gift. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the extraordinary that is found in something so common. We thank you for the gift of life that you have given to us, and for the Spirit who breathes life into us. Give us hearts each day fit to receive your gifts. Give us a sense of awe and wonder as we receive water, one of your gifts. And fill us with compassion so that we might desire people throughout this world to have clean water and the water of life that Jesus offers. We ask these things in his name. Amen.